our good friend Sam Costantino from Sportsnet joins us. Sam, always a pleasure getting you on the playbook. How are you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, doing great. It's been a little while, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the draft. I'm counting down the months as it is. And we know how good Kaapo Kakko is, Sam, but it really seems like the second half of the season since 2019 turned around that he's taking his game to another level right now.
Yeah, he's really, really starting to play well. And a lot of times when a player will go and play within his age group, he'll gain a lot of confidence from that. And even though he was technically, an underager at the World Juniors, with all the success he had playing there in front of the scouts and the big crowds and, you know, doing what Finland was able to do, I think you take that back with you and then you're at a new level of confidence. And then you add into that the fact that there is the pressure of the draft here, but I'm not quite as certain as the pressure in Finland is quite what it is here. So you can just kind of go back with that confidence and start playing and being the good player that you are. So I'm really impressed with everything I've seen from him and his ability to handle whatever pressure he's been putting on himself.
And, you know, your February rankings are out, and you still have Kaapo Kakko number two behind Jack Hughes, but that conversation could keep turning here, right, if Kaapo Kakko keeps producing and taking his game to that next level as we get closer to the draft.
Well, it's nice to see that the conversation has opened up a little bit. I mean, you know, we were talking the first 4 months that it's Jack Hughes and Hughes to lose and choose to lose to grab Hughes and all these other kinds of things. And, you know, he's been banged up for a little bit of the World Juniors, banged up at the Five Nations, some recurring stuff that's happened throughout the course of the year. And I think a little bit of that has brought some doubt. I think the other thing is if you're looking at Jack Hughes, is he going to be able to step in and play in the National Hockey League right away? And depending on who's picking where, that might be the prerequisite to the player that they take. And Kakko would likely be a more ready player to be able to do that than Hughes, simply because of his size. And I guess the fact that he's played against men in a pro league all year long would give him a slight edge to Hughes, who's played against USHL and NCAA competition.
Is the one thing holding Kaapo Kakko still in Tier 2, if you want to call it that, is the fact that Jack Hughes is listed as a center, despite the fact that your belief, Sam, if I'm not mistaken, you think that he's going to be more of a dynamic winger in the NHL. And will that change things at the draft floor?
Well, I think people are starting to look at Kakko now as maybe being a guy who can be, who can be a centerman. And there's always going to be that bias to that position, for sure. You guys see it right in front of your eyes every day, just how important it is to have depth at the center ice position. Mm-hmm. So, I never like to pigeonhole a player at this young age, because oftentimes what happens is they take that next step and they get into the pro ranks and they get underneath the guys of the organization, and the organization realizes that, maybe this guy's grown. Maybe he's not as smart as he thought he was. Maybe he's more intelligent than we thought he was. Maybe his skating is better. And so that allows for positional change once the player has been procured. So I don't like to do too much of that, although you still have to be able to judge from what you've seen from a player based on the position he's playing with the team he's playing with currently. So you do definitely have to take that into consideration. I guess the point being is that the position that the player is playing now and when you draft him isn't necessarily the position that player is pigeonholed into once he's actually underneath the full guidance of the organization.
Sam, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, we've seen Finnish players go in the top 10, certainly a few in the top 5. When you look at Kaapo Kakko and his profile, his goal-scoring ability, how do you directly compare it to guys like Patrick Laine and maybe Jesse Puljujärvi or Mikko Rantanen in terms of how they're comparable to one another?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting, scenario to be put in there. He's not Laine, where, Laine's kind of a one-trick pony. If he's scoring, he's helping your team. If he's not scoring, then I think this year he's proven that he still has areas to grow. And then I look at Puljujärvi, who's, this guy's still trying to find his way. But I think Rantanen is a really good target in that. The fact that he played against men, the fact that he's kind of come over here and has flown under the radar right up until this year, might be a guy that's a little bit more like Kaapo Kakko. And maybe the comparison is fair to put him in the same boat as Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who was doing all these same things last year playing in the men's league. He gets drafted third. Montreal takes a little bit of heat over it. And then the next thing he's turned out to be a really big piece for them. you know, in this season. So I think it's probably a little bit more along the lines of Kotkaniemi and potentially Rantanen down the road than, you know, as opposed to, you know, a Puljujärvi or a Laine.
We're talking to Sam Costantino, courtesy of Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 650, about the 2019 NHL entry draft, and Sam's latest rankings are available on sportsnet.ca. And one player you have ranked at number 5 is Peyton Krebs. And, you know, you mentioned how he's similar to Ty Dellandrea, and he is in so many different ways, but would you be surprised at all that, let's just say, you know, Quinn, he is a second center taken. Let's just say Jack Hughes is a second. Would you, top center, would you be surprised if Peyton Krebs ends up being the second center selected in the draft?
No, I had my kind of selection at number 5 corroborated by a scout I talked to 2 days ago, actually. And, you know, and in that conversation was, wow, this guy is doing it all for a team that doesn't have a lot. And for me, it was just being able to meet him and sit down for a couple of minutes, talk to him, hunker down on what he's all about. I love the fact that he's a fitness freak. I love the fact that he's already a really good player. I love the fact that he's had to have gone through a lot of adversity this year, be it being named captain at 17, be it being consistently asked questions about the team moving, well, all the trades that they've made, and now the imminent move to Winnipeg. That's a lot for a young guy to handle in his draft year, yet he's handled it perfectly well. He has the ability to put his team on his shoulders and single-handedly win games for the Kootenay Ice. And again, sitting down and talking to him and realizing how much of a fitness freak he is, mm-hmm. you know, into the CrossFit and, you know, watching the competitions and all that sort of thing, adding to that to the skill and then adding to that to the characters. There's a lot of different layers to this guy that I like, that not that he moved up far and not that he has far to go any further. He's probably not going to be a 1-2-3 guy, but he'll enter the conversation beginning at pick 4, I believe.
Well, and the real fascinating thing for me when it comes to Peyton Krebs in comparison to guys like Dylan Cousins and Kirby Dach is I personally believe that Peyton Krebs is the better prospect in terms of skill, talent overall, but you start looking at Cousins and Dach, one of the reasons why you might be enamored with them, and I don't mean you just in general, their size, their ability, the potential that that size presents. But if you're looking at just overall talent ability, could you make the case that Peyton Krebs is the better prospect compared to the two centers who are bigger than he is and maybe have more quote-unquote complete game potential?
Yeah, he might be a more complete player now, and he might be that guy down the road. I think for Krebs, and you might get an opportunity to see it again here in April at the under-18s, you're going to see a guy who's, once he gets into a lineup with some more skilled players, that's where he's going to be able to do damage. I mean, look at the Hlinka in the tournament in the summertime. I thought he played extremely well there. When it comes to Cousins, still the foot speed to me is the thing that kind of edges him ahead. And with Kirby Dach, you know, it's more of that man size. He's closer to that man size already. So you have a little bit more certainty of what he's going to be when exactly he fills out. So you have basically guys that are in a little bit different stead. You know, the thing that sticks out about Krebs is all around game. For Cousins, his skating ability. For Dach, the man strength that he already possesses. So you're looking at three sort of different elements when you're talking about these three prospects, but those two guys are right shots, Dach and Cousins. So that always, you know, adds things into the mix. And then the other part is the, you know, do you see those guys playing center for you down the road? That's the other question you have to ask yourself when scouting those players.
It's interesting because when you talk about the disparity or the difference between size and skill and some of the positions these forwards play, Raphael Lavoie is kind of the best of all things here because he plays wing, he plays center, he has size, he has skill. Is that a player that you think could see his stock rise as we get to the draft as well because of the fact that when you're looking at all the little checkboxes to try and mark off and cross off, Lavoie really kind of does it all simultaneously?
He does. But there are some wild inconsistencies in his game. Now, for me, I'm going to be biased based on my most recent viewings. I saw him on Friday night against Gatineau, and he was without a doubt the most dominant player in a single game performance that I've seen this year. 2 goals, 2 assists in that game against a tired and weary, not particularly skilled Gatineau team. So the competition did have something to do with it. But whenever he was out there, he pretty much owned the ice, whether it was on the back track, the physicality, you know, those things were all present in his game. finish, playmaking, those sorts of things. And then we had him again Saturday in our CHL Saturday showcase game, and he was still pretty good, not quite as good. But again, against a bit of a lesser light where Charlottetown doesn't quite have the skill to match up with Halifax, he picked up two goals in that game. So a lot of scouts that I saw stayed for the Saturday game when it wasn't in their original plans based on how well he played Friday night. They wanted to see if he could back that up Saturday, and he came away with two goals again. But there's some wild inconsistencies, in his game. For me, this guy's probably the most fascinating prospect in this draft class because he could literally, I think he has the talent to be inside a 10, yet some of the makeup and the inconsistencies and the lackadaisical attitude might put him into the back half of the first round. Mm. He's got such a wide range on him. He'll be a guy that when scouts go into the room for their meetings, there's going to be a absolutely do not draft, and there's going to be, oh my gosh, we're going to get a steal probably in the middle of the first round if he drops to us. He's going to ignite some really interesting conversation throughout scouts, and a lot of people are going to be talking about the performance that I witnessed on Friday night and then backing it up, maybe not to the same extent, but still pretty good on Saturday afternoon. So he's going to be, I'm telling you, he is the most polarizing guy for me in this draft class.
Do you view that as a red flag? Because last year at the draft, Ryan Merkley had a red flag because of, things that happened away from the game, off the ice. But when it comes to pure hockey skill and talent, there was no denying that Merkley was one of the better defensemen available in last year's draft, perhaps.
I think with Ryan, there was a lot more noise surrounding him. I think when you watch Raphael Lavoie play, it's a little bit more of indifference. I've watched Ryan Merkley a lot. The body language, the slamming of the sticks, the yelling at the teammates, the alleged stuff that went on and was said between he and his coach. There was a lot more noise there. With Raphael, it's more or less indifference in his game when you watch him play. I think he's so skilled that sometimes he looks like he's sitting back in a rocking chair and just kind of, whenever he wants to turn it up, he turns it up. And when he wants to turn it up, he can be the best guy on the ice at any time, regardless of the competition. So it's that indifference and that inconsistency. I don't think there's as much noise about Raphael away from the rink as there was with Ryan Merkley.
We're speaking to Sam Constantino here on The Playbook with Sat and John, Sportsnet 650. And Sam's latest prospect rankings are available on sportsnet.ca. And one player that we know very, very well in these parts is Bowen Byram. We have a question here from Jordan to our Subway text message inbox, and I want to throw it by you. Can you ask Sam where he'd rank Byram with last year's defensive prospects in the draft?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think there is a little bit of a premium put on Bowen Byram this year because it's not quite as D-heavy as what we saw last year. I think we had 14 go in the first round last year, starting with Quinn Hughes, of course, going to Vancouver. And then you saw a pretty good run on him once you got into the middle with Bouchard and, mm-hmm. and Noah Dobson and then down through the list there. I feel that the premium put on defenseman this year has elevated Bowen. Having said that, I think he's a top 10 guy all game long. The thing that really jumps out at scouts is, yes, he's got great skill set and good character and he's got bloodlines. But what scouts really like about this guy is his compete. Seeing that when his team down, he gets really ticked off and he wants to go and he wants to be a difference maker, sometimes to a detriment where he's trying to do too much. But for the most part, when he wants to buckle things down and take over a game, he can do that from the back end because of that high compete that he possesses. So again, I think last year, if I'm looking at that group and thinking along the lines, listen, you guys know I'm a huge Noah Dobson mm-hmm. fan. I think he's a steal at 12. I had one scout tell me the other day, this guy's in the wrong league right now, playing in Rouyn-Noranda. He should be playing with the big boys in the National Hockey League. Quinn Hughes, I think the world of him. I think the same thing about Evan Bouchard. But with the forwards also in last year's group, that probably would have pushed a guy like Byron more towards, 15 to 20 range, as opposed to being a surefire top 10 and potentially inside a 7.
Right, and it all comes down to need on the blue line, and he is the best of this group, and then the discrepancy between the top defenseman and the second one is pretty wide. And as much as we sit here and talk about the Canucks potentially picking outside the top 5 and maybe getting Bowen Byram, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those cases where he does go even higher. Maybe he shouldn't go in the top five, but would you be surprised if somebody does take him four or third even in the draft?
Yeah, I would be a little bit surprised. I would. I mean, again, in my conversations over the weekend with some scouts, Vasily Podkolzin is just, you know, at that five, never mind what he did at the World Juniors, never mind he played a ton of minutes for a coach who never plays his young players. He goes to the Five Nations, and the one thing that stuck out, not because, listen, you know, not to be barbaric here, but one of his players got kneed, and his response was, in a scrum, to headbutt the player who kneed his guy. He got kicked out of the game for it. But every scout watching, guarantee you, was like, I know why he did that. He probably shouldn't have done it in that way, you know, but he was there sticking up for his teammates. And that goes such a long way because of his understanding of the bigger picture. So why do I talk about him? Well, let me bring you back to what we expect to be Hughes, Kako, and then I put Podkolzin really firmly in that third spot. Now you're talking about Doc, Cousins, Krebs, pretty good run on centerman there, and then you get into to Byram. So to see him get inside of five would be, you know, would be a surprise for me. But I think, you know, once you get into 6-7, that's going to be a spot where Byram's going to be strongly considered.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Podkolzin because I'm a huge fan of his game. But the interesting part about his game, too, is you see the flash and his ability is better than what his production has been. Is that a concern at all, considering, like, not that he's not lighting up the lower level in Russia right now, even though his skill set is just so dynamic when you watch him play?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the fact that he plays better with better players and against better competition. I think he rises to those challenges. So on one point, it might be a detriment. And I looked at that earlier on in the season. And then it was brought to my attention, well, yeah, but with better players and against better competition, he rises to the challenge. And you like that if you're a scout. You want to see him do those sorts of things. The thing for Podkolzin is all the major marks in the scouting season, you know, the Hlinka, the World Juniors, the Five Nations, he's been the guy. He's been the best guy. So it's pretty tough to overlook those high marks where the competition and the pressure and all those things have mounted. It's really tough to overlook those things if you're a Podkolzin fan. The fact of the matter is he plays a real North American style of game. And he's got all kinds of compete. He plays with jam. He's really intelligent. The only thing he's guilty of is, A, trying to do too much. And the reason why he can't do too much right now is because he's not strong enough. When he gets stronger, look out, he is going to be one heck of a National Hockey League player.
Sportsnet 650.